This is Tangents. Welcome back, everybody. This is my Festivus gift to you. Unless this is the first trivia podcast you've ever listened to, you've heard this week's guest before. Jay Borsum is the founder of Liquid Courage Entertainment in the Chicagoland area. Courage with a K, of course. Jay will be looking for math questions, of all things. And spoiler alert, I'm now all out of math questions. Stick around to the end of the show for more information about Liquid Courage and all the many forms of trivia content they provide. Enjoy.
There's no official definition of Chicagoland.
No, there isn't. South of the Wisconsin border, north of I-80, west of Indiana, and east of, Route 47.
Would you include DeKalb?
I would not.
Okay. Some people include even like Kenosha.
No. Well, maybe, but probably not. I define it as, you know, Chicago and its like immediate suburbs.
Yeah, collar counties.
Yeah. There's, you know, six or seven collar counties, probably the good way to go.
I think people from Illinois are fairly familiar with it, but
we're all the bastards that aren't you.
Well, thank you. Other than yourself, who is your favorite person, real or fictional, whose name is also a bird?
His name is also a bird.
Tony Hawk,
right?
Christopher Wren, Taylor Swift, Atticus Finch.
I want to go with a Robin here, but I'm not sure which one. Robin Wright Penn. There you go.
Robin Wright Penn. Beating out Robin with a Y and Robin S of Show Me Love fames.
Mm-hmm. Beating out Robin Thicke, beating out
Christopher Robin.
Oh, that's a quality Robin.
Yeah. Robin Lots of good Leech. Robins out there.
Yeah.
So moving on from that, a little history time.
Okay.
Liquid Courage started out in the world of karaoke, correct?
We did all the way back in 2003, actually at time of recording here. Our 20th anniversary of our first ever show is coming up in about a week.
Oh, wow. Celebration being planned?
No, we're waiting for the 21st.
There we go. Good idea. Yeah, good idea.
It feels right and on brand.
Exactly. So speaking of karaoke, what song are you most tired of hearing at karaoke nights?
I am most tired of hearing Picture by Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow. And I am most tired of the song from Grease being identified as Summer Lovin'.
Yes.
It is my personal bugaboo on that. The song is called Summer Nights. It's in the chorus. Yeah,
I hear you. So duets in general. Islands in the Stream. How's that?
I don't hear that one as often because it's a little dated compared to some of the people that I have tended to have over the years. Very kind of 21st century. So a lot of Shallow from A Star Is Born started it to pick up big steam right before the pandemic hit. I can tell you that. I'm sure. Good never hearing that again.
Okay. Well, speaking of pop culture, I've been asking everybody what they're into on TV or YouTube, other online content, streaming services, et cetera, et cetera.
Ooh, when it comes to online content, I cannot recommend a theater group called Star Kid enough. They are amazing. They just put out their, I want to say, 14th production on YouTube, depending on whether or not you count their most recent release, VHS Christmas Carol.
VHS Christmas Carol.
Yeah, it is the actual story of the Christmas Carol reimagined as an 80s themed musical.
Oh, yeah. I got to see that. And I can find that on YouTube.
If you just search for Star Kid, they have about a dozen other ones up there. They put together a trilogy of musicals over the last several years, all set in the same fictional, very Welcome to Night Vale-esque town called Hatchetfield.
Love it.
They are The Guy Who Didn't Like Musicals, Black Friday, and Nerdy Prudes Must Die. Each of them are amazing on their own. When taken together, they're world building in a beautiful way, and I'm here for it.
I'm in. I've been asking everybody this in a quest to build a good category. What movie has the best soundtrack?
What movie? Oh, Footloose is a hard one to pass up there.
Sure.
Absolutely. Just, I think there were like five top 10 hits that came off of that alone. Personally speaking, what soundtrack am I going to just jam out to? The Empire Records soundtrack, but not the officially released one. I can't stress that enough. The in-universe soundtrack, the one that features the songs that were actually in the film. Because like Sugar High and Say No More, Mona More aren't on the official soundtrack, and it's a travesty.
Yeah, you got to hear Sugar High. Good answer. Are you ready to make your quiz?
I think I am. Let's do this.
The game is simple. I'll start the game with a question, answer it correctly, and you get to choose the topic for the next question based on a set of tangents from your answer. Keep answering correctly to stay in the game. If you don't know an answer, it's not the end of the world. You are allowed to miss one and pass one. But once those are gone, the game only goes on as long as you're perfect.
All right, sounds good to me.
And we start with where we left off with Cheyenne Fletcher. With a question, what band's lead singer, Bruce Dickinson, won the Razzie for his version of Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter from the soundtrack for A Nightmare on Elm Street 5?
Oh, Bruce won a Razzie for this? That's a shame.
Right, it is a shame.
Yeah, Bruce Dickinson, famed lead singer of Iron Maiden there.
Iron Maiden is correct, and you have started off well on your journey. And as you can see on the screen, you have tangents for bands, Razzies, soundtracks, and dreams.
Well, I know where my bread and butter is, so I'm going to stay in bands, I think.
To stay in bands?
What band originally named themselves after NBA guard Mookie Blaylock and titled their debut 1991 album 10 in honor of Blaylock's jersey number with the Nets?
So sometimes you stumble yourself across a fact as a trivia writer that shows up on these cool things to know lists. And then sometimes you ask yourself questions about things that you always assumed you knew about but didn't. For instance, this band called their album 10 because it has 10 tracks on it, right? No, they named it for their old name, Mookie Blaylock. There are 11 tracks on Pearl Jam's 10.
You are correct. Pearl Jam is the right answer, and you've started a streak of two now.
Right.
And that gives you tangents in 10 bands, NBA, and debuts.
Oh, I'm 5'8". We're staying away from NBA. Here's what I have to figure out, and it's a bit of a meta thing. Would Russ give me a math question if I said 10? No, he wouldn't. That's not his shtick. I hate to go back to the well. I'm going to keep it in bands.
You did list math as your expert subject.
Oh, I suppose I did, didn't I?
So I will tell you this. There is a way to get there. There is a path towards math. You just have to find it.
It'll be the lowest download episode of Tangents ever.
Here is your question in bands. New Kids on the Block's Joey McIntyre was the first to use the now familiar phrase, "This is where the magic happens," on an early episode of what cable show that debuted in 2000?
21st century cable show, "This is where the magic happens," tends to refer to like a peek behind the scenes in production and whatnot. Joey McIntyre, I'm not familiar with anything he's really done outside of being in New Kids on the Block, so that's not giving me an in, unfortunately. Oh, goodness gracious. It's early in, but I think I'm going to, before I lock that in, let me think this through one more time. I'm very hesitant. It could be MTV. It wouldn't be The Real World. Wouldn't be Jersey Shore. Wouldn't be Behind the Music. That's VH1 anyway. Yeah, I have to tap out on this one. I'm going to use my pass.
I'm going to use the pass, and you were right on the right track there when you said MTV. Because the answer is MTV Cribs. This is where the magic happens, referring to the bedroom.
Oh, fair enough there. It makes sense when you know the answer.
Exactly.
Which is the earmark of a quality question, Russ.
But no harm, no foul. That is a pass, which gives us your tangents, bands, quotes, MTV, and architecture.
Oh, not going to architecture. Oh, what feels best? Bands has been feast or famine, and we just hit the famine. And also, this is tangents, not ask me a bunch of questions about bands. Let's change it up. Let's go to quotes.
We're going to quotes. What American inventor sent the historic message, "What hath God wrought," from the basement of the U.S. Capitol building on May 24th, 1844?
See, Russ, I just learned a thing. I didn't know that this emanated from the Capitol building until this moment. That is the first ever telegraph message sent by Samuel Morse.
Samuel Morse is correct. And we've started a new streak.
Oh, good, because I said that with confidence and would have looked a fool if I was wrong.
So that gives us a tangents, inventors, quotes, 1840s, and codes.
Oh, you're teasing me. I think codes is going to get me the math I sweetly, sweetly want. Let's go to codes.
We're going to codes. America's largest breweries are located in area codes ending in 1-4, with St. Louis in 3-1-4, and what other Midwest city in 4-1-4?
Well, thankfully, I am a Midwest gal, and if it is beer from the Midwest and it's not from St. Louis, it's going to be right up the way in Milwaukee.
It is up the way in Milwaukee, just north of Chicagoland.
Yep, not quite there, but, you know, adjacent. It's a good day trip.
That is your second in a row in this streak, and it gives us our tangents, area codes, beer, St. Louis, and numbers.
Oh, Russ. Fool me once, shame on me. I'm going to numbers, and if you make this a Bible question, we're going to have words.
We're going to numbers. In the first five books of the Bible, here is your question in numbers. Incorporating many of the road and highway numbering conventions, it helped to foster the first road atlas that was published in 1924 was created by what well-known map-making duo?
You ever have one of those questions where you have one answer locked in and you're not 100% sure, but if it's anything else, you're guaranteed you're not going to get this right?
All the time.
Yeah, that's why Rand McNally is going to come out of my mouth. Rand and McNally.
Rand and McNally. You yes. are correct. William Rand and Andrew McNally, to be exact. Well done. You extend your streak to 3 and your total score to 5. Your tangents are roads, numbers, 1920s, and maps.
I thought you misspoke for a second. I got very excited at the very end there, Russ. I thought you said math. No, we'll stay with numbers, though.
Staying with numbers and your question in numbers. Fans of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy should know that Mariano Rivera was the last player in Major League Baseball history allowed to wear what number? Retired by the league in honor of Jackie Robinson.
Wow, you gave me 3 ways to confirm this. I love you for it. It's 42.
It is 42, correct?
I have a team at my weekly pub trivia show on Mondays that named themselves number 42 very, very long ago. So that's not a new bit. Their new bit, though, is every time for some reason I announce their team name at the beginning of a show, they will just simultaneously individually clap one time.
I dig it.
I try to time myself to it by turning my back to them now, and we're just kind of building, we're snowballing this bit. Eventually the whole room is going to get involved and we're going to get this weird syncopated one clap situation going on.
I love it. That would be awesome. And then the bit could end.
Yep. And then we can put that one behind us and move on to new bits.
Exactly. Speaking of moving on, you have a streak of 4 now, and your tangents are these: baseball, astronomy, speaking of the galaxy, numbers again, and that's it.
I want to stay in numbers, but so far they have not given me the fruit that I so richly want. I feel pretty good about astronomy, so let's move there for now.
Let's go astronomy then. In astronomy, what Polish mathematician and astronomer formulated the model of the universe that placed the sun rather than the earth at its center?
Oh, he's a mathematician. If I get this wrong, I'm going to be mocked so very hard. There's a couple names that come to mind, and I have to parse in my head through what I know about each of them, because I know it's either Nicholas Copernicus or it's Johannes Kepler. I think, because this is the heliocentric model, it's going to be Copernicus. Kepler, I think, better described the orbits of the planets and the math that governed those. So I'm going to say Copernicus.
Going to be glad you did. It is Copernicus. It not only extends your streak, but it gives you the following tangents, which I think you'll be happy about. Center, Poland, astronomy, or math.
Oh, Russ. Russ, you know I have to pick, math.
You can pick whatever you want, but I understand that you'll go to math.
Let's let the hubris fall.
Let's try it. See what happens. Here we go. Here's your question in math. What number would you get if you added the number of tears in the title of a 1966 number one song by Question Mark and the Mysterians, and the number of Christmases in a 2008 movie starring Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon?
I should have known you'd make it pop culture math.
Not all of these are pop culture math, but some of them might be.
I have confidence in exactly half of this answer, and I think I can work myself into believing the lie that I'm about to tell myself on the second half. Question Mark and the Mysterians did 96 tears. I feel like there was a 2000s movie titled 4 Christmases. And also, if you add those together, you get a nice round number in 100. So I'm going to say 100.
I like round numbers. It is 100, of course. 96 tears and 4 Christmases gets you to 100 tears and Christmases.
Or my plans for the next few weeks.
Hey, whatever does it. All right, so that is 6 in a row and a total score of 8. Doing great. And it gets you the following tangents: math, 1960s music, Christmas, or 2000s films.
Like, I know that audibly you said words after math, but I did not listen to any of the words after math for staying in math.
Okay, your question in math. What term is given to the longest side of a right triangle directly opposite the right angle?
I got a question similar to this wrong in Learnedly once, only because I didn't know the names of the other two legs that they had like proper names. This is the one leg that I do know the name for off the top of my head. It is the hypotenuse.
Hypotenuse is correct. and you extend your streak to 7 and 9 overall. And that gives you the following tangents: math, words, shapes, or opposites.
Those are nice tangents for you not to have to ask about because I'm staying in math.
Sticking with math, then. What term for the number 1 followed by 100 zeros was first proposed by 9-year-old Milton Sirota in 1938?
So I'm going to ask you the question that never comes up on quiz podcasts, Russ. Does spelling count?
Does spelling count? No, spelling doesn't count on a quiz podcast.
See, because I'm a hard ass grader on this. And whenever I ask questions about the number, spelling does count because one is a massive tech brand and the other is an actual math thing. And it is G-O-O-G-O-L, Google, that is the math thing.
Well spelled. Well spelled. Google. G-O-O-G-O-L. Google. You have a streak of 8, total score of 10, and we carry on with the following tangents: math, words, numbers, and 1930s.
Russ, you're not me. If you were me, what I would do is make the words question a math question. I would make the numbers question a Bible question.
Sure.
I would figure out some way to turn math into something that isn't math. And then I put the math in 1930s because it would involve like a prime number that happens to be in that decade or whatever. But you're not me. So I'm going to stick with math.
I had a feeling you would. What Greek mathematician, known as the father of geometry, is famous for his series of 13 books on math and geometry known as Elements?
I actually didn't know that Elements was a series of books. I thought it was just the one, I guess maybe compendium, but isn't that just a series of books? I'm talking myself into circles. This is Euclid.
It is Euclid. Total score of 11 now, and it gets you the following tangents: math, Greek, fathers, and books.
Oh, Elements was a beautiful tangent. It was right there for you, Russ. Math.
Mathing it out. Best known for a sequence of numbers where each number is the sum of the previous two numbers, what Italian mathematician also introduced the decimal system to Europe?
I don't like when pub trivia hosts allow you to just give a last name as an answer. It's a thing. It's a thing with
you don't,
me.
It's you don't like that?
I don't. And here's why. In a general sense, if you know the basketball player's last name is Jordan, you know his first name is Michael. I'm not Ken Jennings. Sure. You don't have to truncate it for air date reasons. All of this to say, I have no idea what the hell this guy's first name is, so I'm going to take advantage and just say Fibonacci.
Today you learned his first name is Leonardo.
That tracks statistically.
Yeah, statistically, yeah.
Smart Italian guy. Yeah.
That is correct. It also brings your score to 12, and it also gives you the following tangents: math, numbers, Italy, or eponyms.
Now stop me if you've heard this one before, Russ. But we're staying in math.
Your question in math: introduced by Procter & Gamble in 1967, what snack food is often used in geometry classes as an example of a hyperbolic paraboloid?
Could you do me a favor and say those last two words again for me, very loud, very clearly?
Hyperbolic paraboloid.
So just to be sure, you did not say saddle point, right?
I did not say saddle point.
Good. Everybody in all my online communities that makes fun of me for getting this question wrong in Learned League because I called it a hyperbolic paraboloid in Pringles. Take note. Russ got it right.
Bada bing. And so did you, Jay. Pringles is that snack food we're looking for. And that gets your streak even longer. You have a total score of 13 now, and I don't know why I'm giving you tangents, because one of them is math. 1960s, food, math, and shapes. I assume I'm just going straight to math.
I mean, you're assuming correctly at this point. Okay. But how are you, Russ? Let's take a moment since I don't have
great.
To pause and ponder. Good.
You know, your math question then. Industrial society and its future is a 35,000-word anti-technology manifesto penned in 1995 by what one-time assistant mathematics professor at UC Berkeley?
I think you found one I don't immediately know the answer to, Russ. Look at you. The word anti-technology for some reason stuck out. That is my in on this. I'm pretty sure you're referring to the Unabomber.
I will accept the Unabomber. Ted Kaczynski is how some of us know him. But yeah, the Unabomber is how he was known in the press. So Unabomber is fine. That extends your streak. Speaking of manifestos, that's one of your tangents. Manifestos, math, technology, or the 1990s.
Oh, I love three of these categories too. This is actually, you're making it tougher to stay.
Oh, good.
But I'm staying. It's math.
It's got to be math, right? Here is your question. The SI unit of pressure, a programming language, and a crater on the moon are all named for what 17th century math whiz who published an essay on conic sections when he was 16?
See, I can give you this guy's first name. It's Blaise, for what it's worth. Blaise Pascal.
Blaise Pascal is correct. And it gives you the following tangents. Measurement, technology, the moon, or, you guessed it, math.
For just a moment, I had thought I was going to have thought about a tangent. No, it's math.
It's got to be math, right?
Always and forever, baby. If you don't name this episode Jay's Math, you have fundamentally misunderstood the game we're playing right now.
Exactly. Here is your question in math. What 1999 movie's title is also a math term for a rectangular array of numbers, symbols, or expressions arranged in rows and columns?
So, Russ, a fun fact about me.
One of many.
I know Kung Fu. This is The Matrix.
It is The Matrix. Good job.
I don't actually know Kung Fu. I've watched Kung Fu.
David Carradine would be proud.
Yeah, and they reprised that like in the 90s, right? It was like called The Legend Continues.
The Legend Continues, that's right. Okay, you are good for the following tangents. Math, 1990s films, numbers, or shapes.
At this point, I'm just testing the depth of your database here, I think. We're staying in math.
We keep it rolling.
We sure are.
I think we have a couple left, so.
I look at it this way. This is a public service for future podcast guests on the show. There aren't going to be any math questions remaining.
Getting rid of all the math.
I took them all. You're welcome.
Clearing the board of math. Named for an Austrian mathematician who explained the color of stars using physics in 1842, what type of radar developed for military use in the 1940s uses microwaves to analyze the motion of its target?
I don't know this guy's first name either. I'm just going to say it's Greg because I think that'll be funny. It is Doppler, though.
Well, since the question only asked for the type of radar, you're clear there. It is Doppler.
Oh,
it is
fair
Doppler.
Enough.
Nice job.
Well, the radar's first name is Doug. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Radar O'Reilly.
That's Walter. Come on now. And that was the right joke to make. So thank you.
You're welcome. 17 is your score. And we still have a couple math questions left.
Oh, don't threaten me with a good time.
Your tangents are Austria, math, 1840s, or eponyms. I'm just going to go straight over here to math. And here is your question. Oh, and remember how we did a pop culture math to start mm-hmm. this off? We're going back there. Here's a question. Whose math might have been off when she released her single 22 just 5 years after her 2008 song 15?
Oh, this is cleverly worded. I like this one. I got bitten hard a couple months ago in the World Trivia Federation where I wrote a question that involved like one word Taylor Swift song titles or numeric Taylor Swift song titles. And I thought it was just these two, 22 and 15, but then the Swifties got in the comments, as it were. And there's at least two others that are arguably correct at minimum, but this is Taylor Swift.
The Swifties will tear you up and spit you out.
See, you think you have something pinned down and then they find the edges.
They know everything. That is 16 in a row, 18 overall. And that brings us the following tangents. Singers, math, I think for the last time, 2000s or 15.
I'm not happy knowing that it's for the last time, but let's run it. Let's run the table.
Might as well. Here's your question. And it's not really even math, but the word averages is in there. So you got to take it.
Okay, fair enough.
Here it is. Comparable to the Dow Jones Industrial Average, what is the most widely quoted average of Japanese equities?
Ooh, that's a good one. I have a name that kind of elucidated into my head when you said that. I don't know if I could spell it, and I don't necessarily know that I'm pronouncing it correctly, but the term Nikkei came to mind, and I don't think I have anything better, so I'm going to lock that in.
Locking in Nikkei. That is the correct answer. Nice job.
Oh, that is, yeah, that is how I would have spelled it in my head, too. Yay.
Nice job.
I'm like, or is that just the Japanese word for Japan, and I'm being problematic here? I don't know. No, that's Nippon or Nihon. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that answer clears the math from the board, but it does get you the following tangents: stocks, quotes, or Japan.
I actually have to put some thought into tangents for first time in a while. Ironically, none
game.
Of the tangents math questions had to do with trigonometry.
You're welcome. Everybody else.
You know what? My teenage son is a huge fan of Japanese culture and anime. Let's hope, if anything, that I have kind of absorbed from him, I'm going to move to Japan.
Oh, please don't. We like you living here.
It's all virtual. It's fine. I'm actually going on a family cruise next year.
Oh, very cool.
We promised our son that for his eighth grade graduation. He will, because of the pandemic, end up getting it for his high school graduation.
Very nice. Better late than never. Here is your question, Jay, in Japan. Based on a Japanese manga series, what 90s animated series was mentioned in the lyrics of the Bare Naked Ladies hit One Week?
Can I get in tune with Sailor Moon? Because that cartoon has got the boom anime babes that make me think the wrong thing. I wanted to make sure I could quote the whole line. Sailor Moon.
You did well. Sailor Moon is correct. And that runs your streak to 18.
Yeah, not going to kick that out of bed.
Oh, nice work. And that gets you the following tangents. Japan, 1990s animation, or Bare Naked Ladies?
Oh, it's got to be Bare Naked Ladies. They're one of my favorite music acts all time.
Why wouldn't they be? Here is your question in Bare Naked Ladies. What 11th century noblewoman is immortalized in the story of her horseback protest against her husband's oppressive taxes on the people of Coventry, England?
Russ, I've never been prouder of you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, this is 100% the BS that I would pull. This is Lady Godiva.
Lady Godiva. Love her chocolate.
I was going to joke and say, oh, I love Bare Naked Ladies. The band's nice too. But
all right. That is correct. Your total score now is 21 and your streak is 19. And your tangents are horses, spouses, or England.
Ooh, I don't like any of these. Because again, I know that you are very, generally speaking, you are very pop culture friendly in your content. Mm-hmm. Spouses, I feel like it's going to be my weakest spot there. England, hit or miss. Shout out to Rowan Ward. Let's say horses.
Going to horses. And here is your question. Despite breaking a foot, kicking a helmet during the filming of Lord of the Rings Return of the King, Viggo Mortensen went straight to work on what 2004 film about American distance rider Frank Hopkins and the horse he raced across Arabia in 1891?
Man, as soon as you said despite breaking a foot, I had Viggo Mortensen on the tip of my tongue, and then you kept talking. Thank you for the foot related question, by the way, Russ. Really a man after my own heart. 2004 film about American distance rider Frank Hopkins and the horse he raced across Arabia in 1891. Seabiscuit was 2003, and I don't think it was Viggo Mortensen. That was Tobey Maguire, so it's not that. Oh, goodness. Boy, am I glad for the miss mechanic, because I think I'm about to miss here. I can't even think of a funny answer. I've lessons nothing. Let's say Viggo Mortensen's feet. There you go. That's the title of a film.
That'd be amazing if that was a movie. But the right answer is Hidalgo.
Okay.
That's your first miss of the game. And that brings us your next set of tangents. Now remember, from here on out, you have to be perfect. And your tangents are actors, injuries, 2000s films, or horses.
Oh, good. I don't feel great about any of those. Horses just bit me. That's what they're wont to do. 2000s films could be very hit or miss, knowing you are better at them than I am. Actors, unfortunately, has the same problem and arguably a broader scope. I'm going to say 2000s films and hope at this point.
2000s films and hope. Well, let's see how it goes. Here is your question in 2000s films. Ricky Jay. Speaking of Jays, Ricky Jay was one of the best sleight of hand magicians in the world, but he also had important roles in movies like Boogie Nights, Tomorrow Never Dies, and what 2006 film where he plays a magician whose assistant dies during his act?
So the really bad news here, Russ, is I have never seen this film.
That is bad.
The really good news here, Russ, is that I have read the novelization of this film. I believe this is The Prestige.
The Prestige, a movie that often gets confused with The Illusionist. But your correct answer is The Prestige. So you've started a new streak, which is good for you. But it does give you the following tangents. Magic, actors, 2000s films, or jobs?
Well, we're sticking with two tangents there I wasn't comfortable with last time. Jobs, you're going to make it about Steve Jobs. I know you. I'm actually a bit of a fan of stage illusions and whatnot. Let's go to magic.
Let's go to magic.
What former president of the board of directors for Hollywood's Magic Castle got to perform magic in his roles on Glee, American Horror Story, and How I Met Your Mother?
I didn't know he was in American Horror Story. Very cool. I actually just saw him on the third and final 60th anniversary episode of Doctor Who last night when it premiered. This is Neil Patrick Harris.
It is NPH, and the newest streak continues. Very well done, Jane.
Thank you so much, Russ. You're doing fantastic yourself.
Thank you. And that gives you your tangents, magic, Hollywood, actors, or jobs again.
You know, I think magic is the new math. Let's stick with magic.
Sticking with magic. And your question in magic is not so much about magic. Tamino is the main character in what composer's 1791 opera, The Magic Flute?
A name came to mind, and this is either 100% right, and it's one of those Instaget kind of trivia flashcard moments, or I have somewhere along the line crossed the wire so hard on this that I can't think of anybody else, but isn't The Magic Flute by Mozart?
It is by Mozart.
Oh, Wolfgang thank Amadeus goodness. Mozart.
Nice work. Don't you love when that happens?
You can hear the imposter syndrome come through the longer I sit in this chair, Russ.
I know the exact feeling you're feeling when you answer that question. Your tangents, magic, characters, composers, or instruments?
Yeah, it turns out magic is, in fact, the new math. We're going to stay there until you threaten me with a better time.
Sticking with magic. In 1996, Dolly Parton reteamed with 9to5 co-star Lily Tomlin, voicing Mrs. Frizzle's cousin Murph for a holiday episode of what PBS series?
That's a really cool fact. I didn't know Dolly Parton did a voice on the Magic School Bus. That's Murph. So cool. But yeah, the Magic School Bus is the series, yes.
The Magic School Bus is correct. Speaking of magic, and that runs your streak even longer. You are up to 4 now in this current streak, and you're up to 25 total. And your tangents are magic, 1990s, holidays, or PBS?
There's a part of me that wants to go to PBS, only because I think I know one or two things you might ask about, but there's a ton of things I think you would ask about that I don't know anything about. 90s was, in a very real way, my decade, but let's stick with magic.
Sticking with magic. A 20-sided shape inside a sphere was part of the 1950 design by Albert Carter for what product that went unpatented until 1961?
This is a math question a little bit, Russ. Kind of. You could have added that. A 20-sided polygon or a polyhedron like this is called an icosahedron, for what it's worth.
There you go.
You'll find one inside a magic 8-ball.
You sure will. Magic 8-ball is correct. And your streak runs to 5. And your total score is now 26. And your tangents, I think for at least a couple more, you could have magic, shapes, 1950s, or patents.
Oh, I'm going to mess up your world here, Russ. We're going to shapes.
We're going to shapes.
Because what are shapes if not math with pencils?
Okay, here we go. Your question in shapes. What is the name for the steep banked oval tracks standardized for Olympic cycling competitions?
I'm waiting for the brain juice in the back of my mind to slosh it to the front because I know this word. Like etymologically, I know what it's related to because it's not a hippodrome. That's a horse racing track. It's a velodrome. That's what it is called.
It is. You have a streak of 6 now and total score of 27. And you have tangents in bicycles, words, Olympics, or shapes.
Ooh, shapes almost did me dirty there for a second. I do love wordplay and etymology. I feel like I'm playing with house money right now, Russ. Let's bounce around. Let's actually build a quiz here. Yeah. Words.
Words it is. The word nerd was first seen in print as the name of an exotic animal in what American author's 1950 book, If I Ran the Zoo?
There's two types of trivia players in the world, Russ. There's the type who would absolutely say Theodore Geisel here. And then there's the cool type who's just going to say Dr. Seuss.
You know, we would have accepted either of those. But yes, you are the cool type. Dr. Seuss is the correct answer.
Or Seuss, as I think some people will allege it is properly pronounced.
I think he pronounced it Seuss.
Yeah. Can you be wrong about how you pronounce your own name? Because I'm willing to argue that he was.
Yeah, he's wrong. He's wrong.
It belongs to us now, you know?
The name belongs to us. I had a professor in college whose name was spelled exactly the same, and he pronounced it Cease. So
that
who
is
knows?
A third surprising option. So you know the big pronunciation argument over those moving images on the internet. You know, is it the hard G or the soft G?
Right.
I go a different route. I go with like the European G. I pronounce them GIF.
GIF. Oh yeah.
Because it annoys everyone.
Yeah. ZHIF. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna start doing that now. All right, your tangents. Words, zoos, 1950s books, or doctors.
I live very close to two very well-known zoos, but with that said, I'm feeling good on words. We're going to stay here.
Sticking with words. Here is your question. When MGM needed a name for a resort and casino they opened on the Vegas Strip in 2009, they decided to go with one word that commonly shows up in crossword puzzles as Soprano's Solo or Diva's Delivery.
Soprano's Solo has got me thinking two things. It's either going to be an HBO word, which I'm not super familiar with the details of the show, or we're talking about a literal like musical, the voice soprano, which makes a lot of sense with Diva's Delivery there as well. I don't know about the name of a casino here, but if I were doing a crossword with those clues, I would fill in Aria as the answer.
The Aria Casino opened on the Strip in 2009. Nice job. Ooh,
all right. That was a bit of a guess for sure.
Sometimes you got to guess, but you keep the streak alive, and that's all that matters. And it gives you the following tangents: Las Vegas, landmarks, or 2000s. The 2000s.
Nothing's tickling me in a happy place right here on this tangents list. Let's say landmarks and hope.
We're gonna go to landmarks. And your question: the J. Paul Getty Museum houses artwork from around the world and receives about 2 million visitors annually to its two campuses in what U.S. state?
This is the museum behind Getty Images, I can tell you that. Two states come to mind, and I think one of them's wrong. Well, I know one of them is wrong.
I would almost guarantee one of
them's
wrong.
Both of them are wrong. But yeah, the first thought that came to mind was, well, it's a famous museum. It's probably in like New York, right? But no, there's a very reasonable chance that this is California. So especially with two campuses, I understand that museums and universities use campus a little bit differently, but they have a ton of campuses in California. And I don't know much more about J. Paul Getty or where this museum is. It could be the end of our ride here, but I'm going to lock in with California.
Jay, you chose wisely. California is the correct answer. Nice job.
You know how to build tension. It's beautiful. You had me snowed. You're like, Jay, this is the end of your ride. I'm like, well, fair enough. But
yeah. No. Let's keep it going. Why stop now?
Right.
Your tangents will be museums, art, landmarks, or states.
Well, I'm a little scared off of landmarks now. Let's move to states.
We're going to go states then. Featuring a yellow on blue design, the state seal on one side and a beaver on the other make what state the only one with a two-sided flag?
That's a cool fact there. I cannot imagine that it would be any other state but Oregon. So that's where I'm going to lock in.
I'm going to lock in with Oregon. And you are correct. Oregon, the right answer there, gets you a very long streak and a very high score. You've reached 31.
So you
have tied Baskin-Robbins now.
not a sponsor, but could be.
Not a sponsor. Could be. Not ruling it out. Your tangents are these: design, states, beavers, or flags.
There's a big part of me that wants to know. No, don't do it for the memes. I'm going to stick with states.
Sticking with states, the Elvis Presley classic Can't Help Falling in Love was recorded for the soundtrack to what film, released just 2 years after its title location became a state?
Released just 2 years after its title location became a state. So that's got to be the film Blue Hawaii, doesn't it?
Is that what you're locking in with?
Well, not if you're going to say it that way. The Elvis Presley classic was recorded for the soundtrack to what film, released just 2 years after its title location became a state? I don't think there was an Elvis song on a soundtrack from a film about Alaska. And this would have been like 61. So that makes sense. I can't think of another Elvis Presley film, but it might not be an Elvis Presley film. Yeah, I think I'm overthinking this. I think it's Blue Hawaii.
Locking you in with Blue Hawaii. It is Blue Hawaii. I just wanted to scare you a little bit. That is correct. You've got a long streak going on again here, and you have the following tangents based on that question and answer. Elvis, love, soundtracks, or states?
I think you know I'm a creature of habit by now, Russ. Stay in states, yeah.
Staying in states. Your question in states. 16 years before Frances Perkins became the first female cabinet member, Jeanette Rankin was sworn in as the first female member of Congress in 1933, as the newest representative of what 41st state?
I know both the names Frances Perkins and Jeanette Rankin for these feats. I have to remember if I know which state Jeanette Rankin was sworn in under. I know the ballpark geographically, and I think I know the state. I wouldn't be shocked if I were wrong on this, but I think Jeanette Rankin represented Wyoming.
Lock it in with Wyoming?
Yes, sir.
Well, Jay, it has sadly finally happened. We have reached the end. It is Montana.
Ah, I was in that.
You're in the right area.
For sure.
Yep, you're in the right area. But sadly, we've reached the end. But you have amassed a massive score of 32, which is amazing.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that. Not one bit.
That's going to be tough to beat on the scoreboard, on the leaderboard. Any parting words or plugs? I know you have hardly anything to plug.
Yeah, I'm not doing much these days, Russ. no, I'm gonna put the important information out first. The easiest way to find all the stuff I'm about to talk about is on my Linktree. It's linktree.com/liquidcourage with a K. That's got links to, among other things, the World Trivia Federation. It's my love letter to things like BP Trivia and Learned League. It's got links to my TikTok channel where I post a daily trivia question associated with it. You know how like every day has a weird holiday?
Yeah. Every day.
Every day. And I do a trivia question about that every day on my TikTok channel. You'll find my Twitch channel where I host trivia and trivia related content several times a week. You'll find links to find me in the Chicago area where Liquid Courage Entertainment properly kind of operates. There's a big thing I'm forgetting and I cannot remember what it is off the top of my head. You've got the World Trivia Federation, the Twitch channel. Oh, my podcast, my brand new podcast.
Oh, yes. There's that. What are we doing right now?
Verboten, a word game podcast that promises to entertain you in 30 words or less, or it's free. That's available now in your podcast aggregators. Episode 6 is coming out very soon as of time of recording. We're going to get you on there one of these days because Russ, I think what is tangents, if not words with thinking.
Lots of words and thinking. Sure. Jay, you were amazing as always.
Well, Russ, you were amazing as always.
Can't wait to unleash this on the world and keep up the great work.
Oh, thank you so much. This is such a beautiful format. I am mad at you for coming up with it and not being me. This was a thing of joy to experience. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
I would love to have you back.
I would love to be back. Just write more math questions or it'll be a shorter episode.
I have to get started on the math questions right now then. All right, Jay, we'll talk to you later. My thanks again to Jay for playing. Check the show notes for the Linktree link for all the many, many Liquid Courage endeavors. If you made it this far, thank you for listening. As the kids say, like and subscribe. And we'll see you next week. I'm Russ Friedwald. This is Tangents.